you, Lord. You're not going to find anywhere in this nation anybody hearing a choir and special guest soloist sing any better than that. I'm telling you, just praise the Lord again. Man, what a message. Well done. Just goes to show. And them young people, man, you get them up there, it takes it next level. Lily Bell and Car J in the band. And man, we getting to the good stuff now. Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That was just a blessing. I tell you, y'all can tell I got more energy. I am feeling better. I kind of sound like Mickey Mouse this morning, but I feel better. I got another one of them Halo Hydration IVs Friday. I don't know if it does anything, but I tell you one thing. If I find me some more shekels under the couch this week, I'll do it again. I mean, it's the most peaceful thing. For about 45 minutes, an hour, man, I'm telling you, they say it's like a spa. I've never been to a spa. I told y'all last week, I do my own nails. Don't be touching my nails. I don't go to a spa, but it was kind of like that. And, you know, they all medical people. So I'm like, sounds good to me. I did have to get talked into it the first time, but not the second time. All right, enough of that. Enough of that here. Somebody's done provided in advance for me this week. All right, I'm excited about today. And I appreciate y'all's praying for me and your patience with me. We're going to get after it today. We're in that series, Walk in the Spirit. I don't know if it's done y'all any good. It's been a blessing to me. I've needed it. Just basic Christianity, but then taking it to the next level when you recognize, man, when you get saved, Jesus' promise is real. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Helper, God the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's what it's all about. My friend, God the Holy Spirit, helping all the promises of Jesus become real in your life and giving them the guidance, the instruction, and here's the most important part, the power. God never commands you to do something. He does not then give you the spiritual ability to do it. Now, in the flesh, you cannot do it. We just do counterfeit. It's not the real thing. We just try to be kind. We just try to be civil. We just try to be religious. That's not, you know, and I know it's not the real thing. It's not come from a transformed spiritual rebirth life. But when you come to Jesus, well, this is all the sermon. I don't want to preach it all at one time. Okay, today's message, where is your contentment? That's the question. Where do you find contentment for your life? Are you contented? Do you have contentment? Well, we're going to find out where you find it and how to do it, what we're called to. Paul gives us a list of four categories of how to not do it, to live in your own fleshly power. It always gets corrupted and perverted. He says there are sexual sins, sacrilegious sins, social sins, sins against sobriety, and then he just puts in another category in some translation, and such as these. He doesn't go and list every sin. And then he says, but thank God when you get saved, you get to walk in the power of the Spirit. And then he tells us the fruit of the Spirit is this, and this is what he says. You and I have a choice. You either get to try to live in the flesh, which is just ultimately going to end in self-destruction, or life, to walk in the Spirit. Verse 16, chapter 5 of Galatians, here it is, the contrast. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not, certainly not, carry out the desires of the old flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want to do. The heart wants to worship. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law of condemnation. You've been forgiven. You've been set free. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. We all know them. And it starts out sexual immorality, immoral impurity, promiscuity. You want to see what I said about that? That's last week's sermon. You can go online, see that. Today, we look at the second category, sacrilegious sins, idolatry, and sorcery, witchcraft. Now, you go on to verse 22, there's your contrast. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That was the anecdote to sexual sins. And here's the antidote, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. Patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're going to deal with those in the latter sermons. The law is not against the fruit of the Spirit. Now, just as a review, I'm not going to spend long on this. Remember, you got the world, the external foe. It's beliefs. And, excuse me. The old powers and principalities. And then we have an infernal foe, personalized evil and the devil and the demons, always accusing the brothers, always making false accusations, trying to get you down, trying to get you distracted. He don't have to even have you commit heinous sins, carnal sins, if he can just get you distracted from trusting in Jesus. Just going about what's considered a normal earthly life, and you think you're just self-righteous. Well, that's infernal, an infernal foe. And then we have the internal foe. That's the worst problem. It's our old fleshly, broken sin has corrupted that. What was meant to be healthy appetite for help. Aren't you glad you got a good appetite? That's how your body gets food and how it maintains health, eating healthy foods, but it's been corrupted. And next thing you know, we try to make a god out of our food and it turns into gluttony. And then we become unhealthy and you're thinking, man, what's happened? Sin. It's just all, they've been corrupted among other things, and it operates in physical desires. We talked all about that last week. Now, the critic, the old devil, always accuses the Christian. Normally, it's not what you're doing. He tries to come to you and say, well, it's how you're doing it. You know, even in the world, the critics never criticize the good people. It's always, well, it's how you're doing it. Y'all are taking a chainsaw to all this waste, fraud, and abuse. You ought to use a scalpel. Well, the critic had all the authority for decades. They're the ones that told us, now you got to vote on this bill, this budget. Now, 1,500 pages. You got the day before they deliver it, everybody got to vote on it. He said, then what did Nancy say? We'll find out what's in the bill after we vote on it and approve it. They didn't even know what was in it. Now we're finding there's so much. Listen, we don't need to send $30 million to India to have fair elections over there. We need $30 million over here to have fair elections over here. They make hundreds of billions of dollars on us in trade. Well, they don't need $30 million. There's not a living soul with their mind for that. They criticize you for doing what they had the power to do and didn't do it. And that's how the world comes to you, always trying to tell you there's another way. Jesus is not, you don't have to do it that way. Let me tell you something. If you want life, it's going to take a radical change of your heart. A radical change. You got to take a chainsaw to the old fleshly nature. It's called crucify the old flesh. Crucifixion is not pretty. But if you want life, the first thing you got to do is crucify in Jesus. You can't do it. He did it. Only he could do it. It took a perfect, sinless life to kill sin. Took Almighty God coming in the flesh as Jesus, God the Son, to undo what we did to his world and to our heart and our life. You've got an old enemy. When you walk in the flesh, that's works salvation. When you walk in the Spirit, that's faith salvation. You depend on the grace and power of God. Anything is possible with God. All we do is failure. We're trying to depend on ourselves. You got to write laws to stop people from sinning, or at least try to keep it from getting so out of control. You don't ever have to write a law against love. There's no laws ever have to be written against kindness. Nobody writes laws against self-control. Nobody complains, there's way too much joy happening in this city. We better get the aldermen to pass some ordinances. All these families are happy, loving on each other, kids having a good time, studying in school, doing their homework, respecting mom and dad. Dad's working hard. Mom is raising the family. She's working hard. Everybody's working together. And man, we better stop all this. Let's pass some laws. I said I wasn't going to take a long time in that. I've done gone too long on that. One brings death, one brings life. You figure it out. Motivations to change. We talked about that last week. Listen, you want the highest motivation? Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. You say, I want to change my life. Let me tell you something. Get the work of the Holy Spirit in you by simply yielding to him. You say, well, how does that do? Yield to him. He's guiding you in the teachings of Jesus. Have faith and do it. Yield to him. Don't put temptation all around you. The Bible says, flee youthful lust. You got a problem in that area? Don't be filling your house with it. Don't put it on your computers and television and your smartphone. Let me tell you the best thing I've done in the last 4 months. I have stopped all social media in my life. All of it. I ain't looked at a social media post in at least 4 months. I'm as happy as I've ever been. When I need to know something, it turns out I have people that can use that with more discipline. I found out the old devil used it against me. I was trying to use it for good. I was trying to use it for good, and I did. But what I found out is bring a lot of bad stuff my way. And some of it wasn't like, oh, my goodness, Pastor, tell us more. It ain't nothing really, not salacious or anything. But all of a sudden you find yourself, if you're not careful, well, they're doing that over there. Maybe that's what I ought to be doing. It's all comparison. It's all comparison. We went to this vacation. Look at all our pretty pictures. I ain't never been on any vacation like that. I always got something to do on Sunday. I can't take no long weekend. I think I'll just stay up in Oxford for a weekend. Well, you know, preachers can't do that. Starkville, Hattiesburg, just take your pick. I don't want to get all up in your business. Don't we all get sore on all of that. There ain't no sports going on. Football ain't going on. Y'all ain't got nothing to get all fired up about. NBA basketball. That's sorry. That's just, give me March Madness. I'm ready. Let's see some real stuff. So, don't I feel better? Can y'all tell I feel better? I'm feeling better. This is going to be a long survey. God help y'all. Let's get on with the message. Sacrilegious sins are the fundamental problem of all people. Me and you. Galatians 9 says the works of the flesh are obvious. We're going to be talking about these two. The first one, idolatry. You know what idolatry is? God substitutes. God substitutes. People always want to say, well, what's an idol? Anything you substitute for God. Sacrilege is misusing sacred things. When you take the freedom of speech, you've been given liberty in your speech, and then you take that sacred gift and you use it to in profane ways. You curse people, you curse God, you gossip about people, you use it to unfairly criticize and demean and belittle people. That is profane use of a sacred gift. That's sacrilege. But you can also do it the reverse way. You take something that is common, that is not sacred, and then you elevate it and say, I'm going to bow the knee to this earthly thing, and I'm going to look to it for my life contentment. I'm going to look to it to make me happy. I'm going to look to it to give me significance in my life. It was never meant for that. It may have a good use. You see, you can take, obviously, there are evil things that we can all identify. The Bible says it's obvious. But friend, you can take some good things too and take it out of its place and elevate it and make it a God thing. I've known parents who, instead of recognizing they are God's temporary custodian to raise their children in the admonition and nurture and raise them in the faith and take them to Jesus and then raise them to adulthood. They be their own adult. And after that, my friend, we love them, we care for them, we do nice things for them, but they're an adult. We're not their parent anymore. We've done our job. They've always been God's. We were their parent. Now they're an adult. But I've known some that have tried to elevate their kids, a blessing of God, and put them in God-like positions where they put their kids before God. Put their kids before God. You said, that doesn't happen. You know it does. We're all tempted sometime to do that. We love our kids so much. We're so invested in our kids. Don't idolize your kids. Don't idolize your job. Don't idolize some sports team. Don't idolize money. Don't idolize power. Friend, your heart was made to worship. Don't let anybody tell you we're going to have a neutral opinion about religion. There is no neutral stance with God. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. There's none of this ag. There's no agnostic. Well, I don't know. I don't know if there's a God. Romans 1 said you're without excuse. That is not an excuse. You can look to the sky. You can look to a flower bed of pansies and know that didn't happen by choice. Over billions and billions of years of random cosmic dust combinations, and next thing you know, you got an elephant. Come on! You know better than that. There is a God. The question is, who's your God? There's no neutrality. You either will serve the one and living God, or you'll serve an idol. You're going to worship somebody. Don't put anything, a person, an activity, anything, a material possession. Do not elevate it as your source of contentment. Oh, Brother Greg, I could not live without it. You just named your God. We all struggle with it. There's not a living soul that does not struggle with idolatry. At the end of the day, it's just pure out self. We choose. We stay in the driver's seat. The fundamental problem of idolatry is we put other gods before the one and true God. Luther said, you cannot break the other 9 commandments of the 10 commandments without first breaking the first commandment. All sin against it, you have elevated something above God. Adultery, you've elevated someone above God. God says that is out of bounds. You dishonor your parents, you've elevated someone above your parents. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? On any given Sunday, half our membership does not attend church. I don't know if they forgot what day of the week it is, but they do not remember the Sabbath. Friend, you don't even have to be a Christian to remember the Sabbath. The Jews remember the Sabbath and keep it. The Ten Commandments is just basic morality. It's pre-Christian. I'm telling you today, I'm preaching to myself. We need to sometimes get a chainsaw out and stop all this domestication of the flesh, trying to dress it up and make it pretty. You know what it is? It's death. I'm going to be hard on this first part. I'm going to be sweet on the second part. But there's a contrast. I can't say it any uglier. I don't want to say it ugly, but I want to say it firmly. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, Greg. Now, the second one is sorcery. The second one is sorcery. It's interesting to me. I learned this a long time ago. Look at the Greek word. I spelled it out in English letters for you. What English word do we get from that word? Anybody? Huh? Pharmacy? Pharmaceuticals? What a pharmacy sell? Drugs. That's exactly where we get. It just means drugs. And the reason is pharmakia, the Greek word. When they served dark powers, witchcraft, demonic things, anything that was sinful, obviously against the laws of God, they had hyped themselves up on stimulants. They would take drugs. Now, over time, we found more. Once humans found opioids, man, the world went nuts with that stuff. Why? Because your heart does not want to do that. Anybody with a moral conscience doesn't want to do those kind of things. 75% of all unwed pregnancy, the girl was under the influence, usually of alcohol, sometimes drugs. They would have never slept with that boy had they been sober. But alcohol is a disinhibitor. It's a toxin, a chemical toxin in your body. It slows things down, slows your thinking down. And all of a sudden, you just giddy. And Mr. Romeo over there is leading you down the primrose path. Next thing you know, you find yourself in a place, ain't nobody there. Mom ain't there, daddy ain't there, none of your friends are there. Y'all done gone in some place. They never take you to a place where there's a lot of light. Where is it? Dark. Darkness. Under the influence. I always thought this was interesting. When Germany invaded France, the Nazi army leaders gave millions of their soldiers what we know as crystal meth. Now, that's a stimulant. Now, they gave it in a pill form. There's a name for that pill. The bottom line is, it's crystal methamphetamine. That stuff will kill you. Before it kills you, it rots out all your teeth. You ever seen somebody that looked like that and the teeth all rotted out? Sadly, they're addicted to crystal meth. And their health is nothing. Now, you can be saved, and people have been delivered. Thank God. I've seen, it don't happen very often. That stuff is demonic. I want you to hear that. That kind of stuff is demonic. It is not socially acceptable. A member in First Baptist Church should run from that. Don't let anybody give you a pill at a party. Hamas, Hezbollah, those terrorists backed by Iran. On October 7th, Hamas gave those people, some of them were not even soldiers, they were just citizens. Citizens that actually worked in those kibbutzes as communes, farming communes. Those Jews had been peace, they were peacemakers. They were reaching out to the Gazans. They would bring them over and pay them to work, and they were allowed to travel back and forth across the Gaza Strip and come and work, and they were trying to keep peace by a relationship. Some of those very people came and tortured the very people that had been kind to them. You know why? They were hyped up on a stimulant called Captagon. Captagon will kill you. A lot of people in the Middle East, teenagers and college students, they go to these parties and they think they might be taking some ecstasy or something like that. They have laced it with Captagon and it just kills your heart, just blows you up. It's a stimulus killing people all over the Middle East. You know why? Evil. Evil. Idolatry. That's how they can rape and pillage and burn and tie a mother and a girl together and set them on fire. Destroyed their bodies so bad, the forensic scientists didn't even realize it was two people. Literally, the fire had melted their bodies together. What kind of cruelty? What kind of barbarity? You finally give up. The body, after 500 days of taking a woman and her babies hostage, and then you send the wrong body over. Just a mock. Who mocks the dead? Pure evil. It's idolatry. Sorcery. It's the work of the devil. It's witchcraft. And if you want to see it, find someone under the power of addiction. A life tragically destroyed. Somebody says, oh, it won't hurt you. You'll have a little fun. Well, Pastor, I smoke a little marijuana every now and then. It ain't never hurt anybody. It's only Mary Jane. Once we legalize marijuana, that stuff is more potent than it's ever been. That stuff will wreck your mind. It's never been good for you, but I'm telling you that stuff, because now the black market is heavier than anything, they've got to up their product. You see, now that you can get a card and go buy it, because you have night dreams, you can buy anything, you can get one of them cards. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not against pharmaceutical. Some of that can be done in pharmaceutical. We got pharmaceuticals that use the compounds in a way that can help people. I'm not against that. But what we're doing, they just tried to do a bill. Now they're they can't pass a bill to pat. They're selling that compound in illegal quantities at convenience stores in Mississippi. And last year, our representatives were so, not ours from Lincoln County, but the state would not bring that bill for a vote. Now that is sad. They know what they're doing. First Baptist Church, I love you too much. I've done too many funerals, wasted lives. You say, it don't matter, it's just a few. It's one too many. And not a good thing come out of it. You may not want to be here for the third Sunday in March. But anyway, that's a whole nother problem. I'll get to that when I get to it. Galatians 5:21. those who practice such thing. That does not mean once in a while you fall and stumble, you ask God's forgiveness, you get back up, you learn from your mistakes. We all make mistakes. We all sin at times. But what this word means is you practice it as your lifestyle. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to mock God and said, I know God told me not to do it, but I decided I was going to live that way anyway. I'll just ask God to forgive me at the last minute, and God is God of grace, and he'll let me in. My friend, your life preaches your own funeral. No preacher ever preaches your funeral. Your life preaches your own funeral. Now, thank God there's an anecdote. There's an antidote of the Spirit that cures the sacrilegious sin. And the first one I want to talk about is peace. That's a gift you receive when you get saved. You see, the Bible says you're at enmity with God. Let me tell you something. You know what that is? That means you're an enemy of God. Your sin, my sin, we are at war with Almighty God. But Romans 2:4 says, oh, do you despise the riches of the goodness and forbearance and the patience and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But God's been good to us in Christ. He's willing to forgive my sin and your sin if we will yield to Him in faith and turn from our wicked ways and turn to God in faith in Christ. He will save you. Titus 3:4 says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. Look, not by the works of righteousness which we have done. We don't have any. Those are the works of the flesh. But according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of whom? The Holy Spirit. Look at the goodness of God and let the peace of Christ, to which you were called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. My friend, when you get saved, you're no longer an enemy of God. You are a child of God who's come back home. You have peace. The war is over. You're no longer a slave to sin. You've been set free. You can walk in the Spirit. You now desire to walk after God. You want to put away those old things. You want to let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. He paid the price. When I got saved at 12, I went to all my little buddies on the feet drive. Al, Randy, Joey, Jimmy. Jimmy had an older brother, Raymond. I didn't go to him. He loved to play war. I caught up with him one day. He's a retired FBI agent. I knew something different about that boy, and so I didn't mess with Raymond. But I told him all how I got saved, and I told him how they ought to get saved. And someone says, I've already been saved. I said, good. How about you? I'll go into my other buddies. You know why? As a 12-year-old kid, I was free. I had peace. I had so much questions. I've been trying to be a good kid. And I'd fail. I knew I'd fail. I mean, I could be good for a little while. And then my sister would say something. It brings stuff out of me. Now supposed to come out. I love my sister. She's a godly woman. She wasn't always that way, but neither was I. Of course, anyway. Let me go on. Peace. Remember, you can't produce this in your life. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's who you receive when you give your life to Christ. You're not in this alone. Now, the second antidote to all of this idolatry and sorcery and this sin in my life is joy. It's a byproduct of peace. You see, when you respond to the love of God, what's the result? Peace. When you have peace with God, you have joy. Now, joy is better than happiness. It's a state of being. It's not an emotion. Happiness depends on happenings. When things or happenings are good, I'm happy. Well, how about when things are not good? You thought you studied, and you got a C minus. You ain't never made a C minus before. You're not so happy now, are you? Things, little things get us off. They forgot to put the ranch dressing in my chicken strip. This is horrible. How will I survive? Little things can get us off. We lose happiness over nothing. Joy is dependent on Jesus alone, and he changeth not. John 15:11, I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. When you come to Jesus, it ain't a little bit. You get saturated. You get baptized. You get all the joy you want. Jesus gives himself fully to you. He said, look at my joy. Look at me. I and the Father are one. I have peace with God. I give you a peace. World don't even know the kind of peace I give you. Now we land the plane. I saw in the news, General Kellogg, the envoy of our current administration, was over visiting 22 horribly injured, brave Ukrainian soldiers in a hospital. And one of them asked, can we truly trust the Russians? Can we negotiate with the Russians a peace? And he said, all wars end in negotiation. And I thought about that. And that might be true among men, but it's not peace. They start buying more weapons, and they start forming the front lines, and they point their guns and missiles and bazookas and at one another. Now they stop the fighting, but they're not at peace. If you want real peace, if you want to say, I don't want to live in the flesh, I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to experience the love of God, the unconditional love, and I want to live that way. I want to love other people that way. I want to have the peace of God. I want to live in the state of being of joy, that it don't matter good days, bad days. I'm content in Jesus. Why? Because I look beyond the happenings. I see the victory. My eyes are looking at Jesus. This is just a temporary thing. Paul said this is a light affliction. Light affliction. Oh, it hurts. It almost crippled you. But Jesus' mighty right hand lifted you up. He brought you up. He's strengthening you. And faith, the reason we can have joy is why? Because he gives us by faith to see the other side of it. And there he is saying, greater's in you, I'm in you, than the things in the world, Greg, Terry, John, Sally, my friend. When you have peace with God, you got to surrender. You don't negotiate with God. He said, there's one way. You've got to humble yourself and your pride, and you've got to kneel at the cross of Jesus and place your faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ and surrender. That means you get out of the driver's seat of the car, can't have two sets of hands on the wheel. Only one driver. You get out, you go over to the passenger side, Jesus gets in the driver's seat, and you say, Jesus, you've always been able to drive my life better than I could. I'm going to follow you. Let the great adventure begin. Set me free. Do you have peace? Have you been frustrated, discontented, aggravated? You get inordinately angry? Get ticked off at things lately, frustrated. My friend, You've been trying to do Jesus stuff in the flesh. That don't work. Why don't you yield and surrender to Jesus? Some of you need to get saved. I've already told you just how you get saved. Repent of your sins, come to faith in Jesus, surrender to Him as Lord. My friend, let the great adventure begin. Be forgiven. Be saved. Some of you need a church home. Come on. We got cards. We fill it out. You saved? Been baptized as a believer by immersion? If you've not, we'll take care of that. You come, just be ready to follow. We need your gifts and talents. We're not who we're supposed to be without you. Let's come. We'll have a good time. We'll worship together. We'll serve together. We got a whole garage sale. We need you right now. Come on. Let's walk in the Spirit together. Would you pray, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, have your way.